I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. For a message, I would like to think about honesty. And I know we've had a message on honesty here before. If you remember, it seems like it was only about a year or so ago that we went through the Christian virtues. But I looked back and it was actually 5 years ago. It's hard for me to believe, but I was led to go there again this morning. As Christians, I believe that we should have the reputation for honesty. And there's a lot of different ways that this affects our lives or can come into play. Different ways that we can be challenged in this and many, different aspects of our lives. I don't want to lift out a secular person necessarily, but there is a president that we had that was known for his honesty, and he had a nickname. Who was it?
Abraham Lincoln.
He had the nickname of Honest Abe. There are many stories, if you do some research on Abraham Lincoln's life, there are many stories that speak about his honesty and his integrity. And as we go through the message, it might refer to some of them. As a young man, he was in partnership with William Barry in the grocery business. And Barry died in 1835, leaving a fairly significant debt load. And Lincoln worked hard, paying off his own share of the debt as well as his previous partner's share. He went beyond the legal requirements that he would have had to do, because he felt that was the honest and the right thing to do. The story is told that late one night, counting over his cash from the day, he realized that he had shortchanged someone. So he closed the store and walked quite a distance to repay the few cents that he had shortchanged a customer. And I just think about that, just a couple cents. I don't know how much it was. But what if I got in my car and drove to a customer's house to pay back even a dollar, much less walked for a few cents? One morning, he realized the scale was off a little bit, and he had already sold some tea to a woman late the night before, and he realized that he had shorted her some tea. And so he weighed out what was due and took it to her. And she was surprised because she hadn't even realized that it was shorted. So he could have easily gotten away with it. But again, it was honesty that mattered to Abraham Lincoln. America looks back at someone like Abraham Lincoln with high respect. We admire the things that he accomplished in spite of the difficulties that he faced in life. And you know the story of Abraham Lincoln, how a poor boy born in a cabin, growing up in a remote area, and he endured the tragic death of his mother at a very early age, confronted the realization that he had no desire to be a farmer like his dad, and yet he went on to make something out of himself. Abe is looked at as someone that is thoughtful, smart, independent, tall, and honest. And a lot of people look back and like Abraham Lincoln, like the story of Abraham Lincoln. Because of that, he made something out of himself. As you think about good, honest men in our society, it seems like they're becoming less and less. Just in general, good, honest people are becoming less and less common in our society today. The morals of today's society aren't getting any better, but rather they're getting worse. It doesn't take long to realize that if you just start scanning the news, look at the Altoona Mirror, and you realize all that goes on. And yet, I believe society itself shows that honesty is a good and right trait to have. It's something that is looked up to. And I believe that will continue. It's something that is built within us. God gives us this realization that being honest is a good and right thing. But just the fact that people have and are still respecting someone like Abraham Lincoln's life, I believe, goes to show that people still respect honest people. But today, yet, people still love, respect, and desire to be around those that are honest. Business owners, when they're looking to hire someone, that's one of the big things on their list. Is this person honest? Can I trust this person? I would imagine that Abraham Lincoln himself, was probably taught honesty growing up, and he built on that and made something of himself, because doing good and right made him feel good. Doing good and right earned him the respect of many people, and doing good and right got him somewhere in life, even to what society would consider the top, the 16th president of the United States. But as I understand it, sadly enough, Abraham Lincoln wasn't a very religious man, in spite of being a very honest person. Lincoln didn't talk much about religion. He didn't belong to a church. He once told a friend that his religious code was the same as an old man he knew in India who said, "When I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad, and that's my religion." And so that is what inspired Abraham Lincoln to be honest, because it made him feel good, and so that's why he did it. While that is a better religion, if you want to call it that, than a lot of people in society have today, it does not save us. Doing good and being honest doesn't save anybody if you just do it to feel good. But yet, it must be a trait, it must be a virtue of the Christian. I want to look at that a little bit more. Good deeds, we know that good deeds don't save us. You can have people that do the right thing, make the right choice, but that alone is not enough to save us. And that includes being honest. Honesty is a good thing to possess. And as we said, even society recognizes that. And it will earn us respect. It will, most likely, if we're someone honest, we can grow in the ranks of the business world, because employers will recognize that we're honest. It will earn us friends, and we can probably make something out of ourselves by being honest. But honesty must be a Christian virtue, and only a Christian can recognize that. I'm not too concerned about us losing our honesty here, that we're going to go out this week and just start telling lies. But there are many ways that we are tested in this. And one of the ways that I thought about is just the other evening, me and some of the boys were talking about building a little cabin back in the woods there. And if we keep it under 100 square foot, you don't need a permit or anything. But as soon as you go over 100 square foot, technically you're supposed to have a permit. So, 12 by 16 cabin, I should get a permit for it. But it's back in the woods and no one will see it, right? Well, we were talking about that. One of the boys said, "Well, if you don't get a permit, then is it okay if a junior hunter hunts with someone that's not an adult? Then is that okay? Where do you stop?" Honesty. So we are tested in these things in many different ways. But what I want us to think about is, where does our honesty come from? I believe that all of us here are honest people. I hope we're honest people. As we're going to see later on, we're going to talk about our speech and honesty in our speech. And I believe there are times that we are tested in telling an outright lie. But I believe for the most part, we are honest people here. And I want to hope that we're honest people. And I also don't doubt that all of us here have a desire to be honest for the right reason as well. But what I want us to think about, what I want to challenge you, is how deep does your honesty go? What is the reason? What's the reason for your honesty? Are you honest because it's just what you were taught? It makes you feel good. It earns you respect. It gets you somewhere. Or are you honest because of what Jesus did in your life and you have a changed life? In other words, are you honest because of what you have made yourself to be? Or are you honest because of what Jesus has done in your life? What is the reason for your honesty? Every person has the ability to do good and build our own character. And that's what Lincoln was, that kind of man, where he built a good character. And an article that I read on him called him a self-made man. He made the right choices, what made sense. Self-made, meaning having succeeded in life unaided. Self-conscious development of human potential. And this is something that, you know, bodybuilders have that, where they have and sports players have this, where they have this determination and they build themselves up. It is true that we need to build our character, but it goes deeper for us as Christians. It needs to be a virtue. A Christian empties himself out before God. He crucifies his flesh, and he allows God to take control. And some of the verses that we're going to look at here talks about that. And when that happens, what's the result? Well, good deeds, honesty, purity, love, the fruit of the Spirit, that is a result of then emptying ourselves out rather than building ourselves up. See, the difference is whether we build ourselves up or whether honesty becomes a part of a new life. And that is the difference. With God, honesty is out of a sincere love for others. And that is why honesty is a virtue, a trait of a Christian. I remember a number of years ago, I was tested in this area as well of honesty. I pulled in at the 17th Street Sheets there one rainy day. I pulled into the parking lot, opened up my door, and there was a wad of cash laying on the right outside my door. And so I picked it up, counted it. I don't remember how much it was exactly. I remember it was several hundred dollars. It was more than just $5 or $10. And I had to decide what I was going to do with that. I knew that the right thing is to turn it in, take it into Sheets and find out, try to find out if anyone lost a couple hundred dollars. And so that's what I did. I went in, went up to the workers and said, hey, I found this out in the parking lot. Did anyone report that they lost money here? And they didn't know of anyone, but they said, well, they'll take it. I left my name and number there. They said, if no one shows up for it, we'll give you a call. And it's yours if they don't come for it in the next few days. So, of course, I left there with my doubts, not trusting in anyone's honesty, that even if no one did show up, I was pretty sure they weren't going to call me. And I was okay with that. But the true test came to me after I left Sheets. That's when I struggled with it most. When I found the money, I knew the right thing is to take it in, be honest. But then the test came after I did the right thing. That's when I was challenged. I sort of found myself hoping that they wouldn't find the owners of it, because I could have used a couple hundred dollars right then. What does that show about my honesty? I was being honest because it was expected of me. It made me feel good because I did the right thing, taking it in the Sheets and turning it in, possibly for respect, but yet I still wanted it for personal gain. And I soon realized, and I thought about it after a while, that, you know what, if I was the one that had lost that money, I would be glad if someone turned it in. And after that, I changed my thinking, and I hoped that they could find the right owner. And the next day, a young man called me and thanked me over and over for turning it in, because he had lost it. I guess it was he who lost it, I don't know, unless it was one of the workers at Sheets that called me, I don't know. But I trust that it was the right the right person. But there's many little areas where we are tested in this thing of honesty. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. I think this explains this thought very well of honesty coming forth out of a Christian as a Christian virtue, as a result of who we are. Colossians chapter 3, start reading at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, and mortify has the idea of putting it to death, stabbing it, killing it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Let's pause there. But here he talks about things that we should be putting off, crucify. And as I read the list here in verse 5, dishonesty often comes as a result of these things in our lives here in verse 5. This inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, that will often drive us to dishonesty if it's a part of our lives. If we have not mortified, if we have not crucified the flesh. But here he's giving this list of things we need to put off, and he says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. So those of us that have claimed that we have put off the old man, that we have changed, we must put off lying. Lying is something that should not be a part of our lives. Now, continue reading here, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let's pause there. So here, first of all, we read about things that we put off, including lying, dishonesty. We put those things off. Now he's saying, these are things that you put on. This is the result of a Christian. And allowing God to take control of our lives. And these things, these mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, these are things that will lead towards honesty, towards one another, and love. Let's jump down to verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Everything that we do must be done for the Lord and not for men. So again, going back to our opening thought, that honesty must be for a deeper reason. Not for ourselves, not for the good feelings, the respect of men, not to get ahead, but our honesty must be for the glory of God and not for us. Now, there's a number of different aspects where we are tested in this honesty. The first one, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to look at speech a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice here, we're going to also be reading about some things that we should be putting off. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So again, he brings out this lying. And verse 17 through 22, he's talking about things that we put off. We put off the old man. Verses 18 to 24, putting on the new man. And then in verse 25, what's the first on the list here? Wherefore, putting away lying. Honesty in our speech. And also back in verse 15, he talks about, but speaking the truth in love. Honesty is an important part of our speech. Telling the truth. What does lying do? Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What does lying do? Doesn't lying break down trust? Lying breaks down trust and relationships. But he says, put away lying, for we are members one of another. We care about each other. We need to put each other first. You don't need to turn to Acts chapter 5, but in Acts chapter 5, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And there we have an example of dishonesty we see the result of the seriousness of that dishonesty, where they sold this possession and they brought it before the church. They brought the money before the church and said, yes, we sold it for so much, and made them believe that this was giving the entire amount to the church. But both of them were struck dead for lying. God does not want dishonesty as a part of his church. Abraham Lincoln, even though he was not a Christian, was a great example of honesty and truth. In his profession as a lawyer, he was well known to never tell a lie. He combated against his profession's reputation for dishonesty. So lawyers had this reputation of being dishonest. Lincoln said, "Honesty should be the top priority of the young when they select an occupation. Resolve to be honest at all events. And if, in your own judgment, you can't be an honest lawyer, resolve to be honest without being a lawyer. Choose some other occupation." And so, even in this occupation where lawyers were known to tell lies, he was resolved to be honest. Lincoln was also honest in his political career. President Polk, or James Knox, the 11th president, wrote to Congress in a speech that the war against Mexico had been started by Mexico and had shed American blood on American soil. Lincoln was a part of the Whig Party and didn't accept this statement as truth. Lincoln spoke out against this very strongly, saying, "Polk should remember he sits where Washington sat and tell the truth about the origin of the war, as, of course, Washington was famous for always telling the truth." Lincoln declared, as a nation should not, and the Almighty will not be evaded, so let him attempt no evasion. Addressing the president in tones worthy of the prophet Nathan addressing King David, Lincoln declared that Polk must be deeply conscious of being in the wrong, that he must realize the blood of the war, like the blood of Abel, is crying to heaven against him. Not having been truthful about the beginning of the war or its objectives, Polk can provide no leadership regarding its ending. So Abraham Lincoln had some very strict words for the president at that time. The president betrayed the confidence of so many politicians that he became a byword. I'm talking about Polk. That he became a byword for secrecy. and double dealing and duplicity. And there's a stark difference between these two men. Revelation 21, you don't need to turn to it. I'll read verses 7 and 8. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters," quite the list that he has here. But listen to what's next. "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Again, we see the seriousness of honesty in the eyes of God. Another area that we are tested is in being respectful, having a good reputation, an honest character, I guess we could say. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Now that word honesty there in the Greek is semnotis, if I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but it's venerableness, which has the idea of commanding respect because of great age or impressive dignity worthy of veneration or reverence, as because of high office or noble character. There's also, this verse is found in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, the word gravity. "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy, or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." So again, this uses the same Greek word here. And also, turn a few pages back to Titus, chapter 2. Verses 6 through 8. "Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you." So honesty can be explained here as a pattern of good works. Uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Another example of this, Abraham Lincoln didn't like to charge people very much who were poorer than he was. And one time a man sent him $25, but Abe sent back $10 saying he was being too generous. And as a lawyer, Abraham Lincoln once prevented a con man from swindling a tract of land owned by a mentally ill girl. The fee had been agreed upon by the girl's brother, but the case only ended up taking 15 minutes. Lincoln insisted that at least half the money be sent back, saying, "I would rather starve than swindle her in this manner." So again, just an example of honesty and a good way of life. Philippians 4, verse 8, uses the word honest in this same way, this manner of life, this manner of this way of life, or this pattern of good works. Turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Another area I think we're tempted in this is in spreading false reports or bearing a false witness. Deuteronomy chapter 19, in verse 16, It says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest, and the judges which shall be in those days. And the judge shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, foot for foot. So again, we see the seriousness of a false report. A false witness getting up and basically telling a lie against someone else. And the judges were to make this judgment. And if they found out that this was not true, then what he was trying to make happen to his brother would happen to him instead. Now I realize this could be looked at maybe in a court system and the seriousness of that. But what about spreading falsehoods? Are we tempted to spread falsehoods? We hear stories sometimes, and we don't always find out if they're true, but it's good, so we tell the next person. We're quick to pass on information to others about others. Sometimes we don't even know the people in focus. It's just, oh, we heard this and we heard that, and we pass it on. I think we need to be careful with that. We need to be diligent in making sure that we are being honest. That, number one, even if it is true, maybe we shouldn't be spreading it. That's a whole different subject. But I'm amazed that when an event happens, maybe it's a tragedy or whatever, and you hear all kinds of stories that start circling of, how does that happen? Honesty. Another way is pretending we are something that we aren't, or denying things that we are guilty of. Gehazi could be an example of this in 2 Kings chapter 5. I don't think we'll turn to it. You know the story, how when Naaman came to Elisha, and he wanted to pay him, but Elisha said, no, I don't want your money, send him away. Gehazi went running after him and made it sound like Elisha had changed his mind. Not only did he lie to Elisha, but he also misrepresented himself to Naaman as well. And we know the results of that, how Naaman's leprosy came upon Gehazi. I would say we all probably struggle with trying to show or be something that we aren't. It's kind of natural that we want to look good regardless of whether we are actually good or not. We like to appear better than we actually are. But this, again, is an area where we need to be honest with ourselves and with others. Well, there are many verses that talk about honesty. Romans 12:17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:7, but that ye should do that which is honest. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Hebrews 13:18, in all things willing to live honestly. Does God care about honesty? Does God care about what we say about truth? See, God is truth, and when we partake in dishonesty, then we are not of God. Honesty is important to God, and it's important for his people that we are honest. What kind of reputation do we have? What kind of reputation do you have? Are you known for someone that is honest and cares about honesty? We represent God's people, and how much more important that we as God's people live honest lives. Way more important than someone like Abraham Lincoln. We, as representing God's people, must be an honest people. Let's kneel for prayer.